Hey, Hope Church, it's Pastor Chris. I hope that you are warm. I hope that you guys are really enjoying yourself on this Valentine's Day. Maybe you've got a fire going. Maybe you got the heat cranked up. Maybe, like Pam and Ann were saying, I think they were going to invest in some of those weighted blankets. I don't know if you're going to be able to get off the couch with those things on you, but nonetheless, you'll be warm. And I hope you're having a great time with family, with your Valentine, with all those that you love. Today, we're going to continue our sermon series on blueprints, really diving into the gifts of God and who He's created us to be and the Holy Spirit that He's given us. I want to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump right into it. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You for Your word as it's going to go forth today. Lord, we thank You that we're going to be changed, transformed by the renewing of our mind as we press into You today. Open our ears, open our minds to truly understand all that You have for us. And where we don't, Lord, help us along. We thank You and praise You. God, I ask for a blessing of healing and protection for this church family and those that are under the sound of my voice, that You would rebuke the devourer, You would rebuke sickness, You'd rebuke all these things that are coming against Your people in Jesus' name, health and wholeness in Jesus' name. And in all this we pray. Amen and amen. All right. So as I said, we're jumping right back into our sermon on blueprints. And something that I could have done anything with this series, but I just believe that God wants us to focus on the gifts and who we're being transformed to be. Okay? Not only are we becoming a royal priesthood, which is what Peter calls us in his book, but we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit living in us and guiding us each and every day of our lives. So, as a recap, I was studying the word blueprint, and it's a plan or a template for a building project, right? And I know it's not only related to building, it's related to a number of things, but we see a lot of imagery in scriptures about building and construction, so I'm going to go with this one today. All right, so let's have a quick recap. As I was thinking about our sermon today, and our sermon is called Sealed, so sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're going to read that in Ephesians here in a bit. But we talked a lot last time about our foundations. Are we being built on the right foundation? So I was reminded of a portion of Scripture. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus had shared fresh revelation on how we're to conduct ourselves as part of His kingdom. We see quickly that His kingdom isn't like all the earthly kingdoms. In fact, the devil even, when he's tempted in the wilderness, tries to offer him all these earthly kingdoms. Jesus, knowing that God's kingdom is better, declined, but the devil just, he had to assume that if I can get him off the plan, off the will of God, and if he would accept these earthly kingdoms, like, I got this. But what he didn't know is this plan was in motion before the foundations of the world, right? We read that in Ephesians. So I just think that's awesome. Another thing to call out here is that this sermon starts in chapter 5 and goes on into chapter 7. Come on, somebody. It's not just Pastor Chris. Now, Jesus' delivery was phenomenally better than any man on earth is going to ever be able to deliver. Hear me on that. The authority in which he speaks, better in all shapes and sizes. But I'm with Jesus there on the length, okay? And then, as we mentioned before, the chapters and the verses, they're for our benefit. It's so that when you're nodding off in the morning or in the evening and you're reading the word, you can say, I got to chapter 5, verse 7, okay? It's for us, not for them. And it can cause us to miss some of the details like this. Most people don't realize, where did all these thoughts come from? How am I going to read this in context? Well, if you know that it starts in chapter 5 and you're reading everything he says in context, you're in good shape. So, Jesus finishes his teaching up to this point, and he has this statement that's found in Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. He reminds his hearers that we must not only listen to what he says, but we should actually do what he says. So here's the parable that he gave us. In Matthew 7, 24, it says, "Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Come on, somebody. Isn't that good? Now listen to this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We don't want to be the latter one, I'm telling you. We want to be built on the firm foundation, the foundation that is Christ. Okay? And I want to call something out. He mentioned in both examples, those that listen and do, and those that listen and don't do. But he said the rain would come, the floods would come, the wind would come, and they'd all beat against that house. And another title I had for this section was our house or our life built on the rock, which is Christ. Okay? So if all these things are happening in our life, and Jesus is reminding us that the rain and the floods and the wind are all going to come against us, even when we believe in him, even when we do what he says, that promise is that we're not going to fall apart. We're not going to be washed away. We're not going to be destroyed because he's with us. Isn't that good news? I hope that is to you. If you missed the sermon, go check our Facebook page, go check our YouTube and catch up on it. Build your kingdom here, but we want to be built on the firm foundation, and that foundation is Christ, okay? Let's read our declaration today, and I hope that when you say this with me, you'll start taking into account what we just read, because it just seals it so much better. It's founded in Scripture, so let's read it together. All right, here we go. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice, right? We're going to do what he says. My mind will believe what he says. Do you believe him today? Do you believe that he's good? All right? And then our voice will declare the truth of his word. Go tell somebody. Don't hold it all in. Make sure people get it. Make sure people hear it. Hear that good news that was once declared to you. Okay? All right. So as we get into our sermon today on Sealed, I wanted to show you how what we experienced today was foretold by God long before the events of the crucifixion took place. Now here's our sermon in a sentence, and as I typically say, don't leave me, stay with me. I'm going to give you the cheat, the main idea, the main point, but stick it out with me. Another thing that I think many of you guys would probably get a kick out of or crack up on is I got a nice breakfast for you today. And it was almost a massive breakfast, like we'd all be nodding off at the end here. But Jesus said, hey, save that for next time. Do that next time. So, and everybody in the house said amen, right? So here's our main point for today. Jesus promised to fill us with the Holy Spirit and with power. Are you experiencing the fullness of his promise in your life today? I'm going to say that again. Are you experiencing the fullness of his promise in your life today? All right, so with that said, I got to tell you what the promise is, right? And we're going to go back to a few verses in the Old Testament to really kind of just iron this out for us. So the first example is found in Ezekiel 11, verses 19 through 20. Now remember, Ezekiel's caught up in this vision in the chapters preceding this. Chapters didn't exist, right? We've kind of already established that. So he's telling this long account of what he's seeing, what he's dreaming. It's kind of like probably a daydream, if you will. So it's happening in real time, and he's seeing all this. It's super real. Now, some stuff that he sees there is a little bit weird. One of the things that he says, not only does he see the angels and they're doing different things and they have appearance of men, and you know, he's kind of going through all that, but he sees a wheel. And then inside of that wheel, he sees another wheel. And the wheels are covered with eyeballs. Now that's weird, okay? and it's a good weird. And sometimes the things that we see are things that we're not going to be able to explain, and that's okay. But if you have some dreams like that, come tell me, because I want to know. But it's just really cool. So he goes through this vision, and he gets to this point in chapter 11, and it says, this is God telling him this. And I will give them one heart. And a new spirit, I should have capitalized this because that's what he's talking about, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. We're going to hold this on there, but one thing I want to call out is He's taken out their hearts of stone. And I'm immediately drawn back to Pharaoh when Moses comes before him and says, God says, let my people go. And he comes to him over and over again. And the Pharaoh's answer is still no. And a certain portion of scripture says that in Pharaoh hardened his heart. God wants to take those hearts of stone, those places and areas where we have maybe heard something over and over again, and it could even be something good. Listen. But we've heard it so much that we're just tired of hearing it. We become stone to it. We become cold to it. And sometimes it's those areas that God takes those hearts of stone out and puts those hearts of flesh, those hearts of life, those hearts of love in, and we're able to hear that thing in a new light. And we're able to do what he wants us to do with it as we yield to him. Hope you can hear that today. But check this out. In this verse, it says, once we have that, we could walk in his statutes, keep his rules, and obey them. We couldn't do it by ourselves. That was proven. But Jesus told us that he didn't come to abolish all this. He came to fulfill it. So in Jesus, with his spirit living in us, we can follow God's rules. We can follow his commandments. We can have union with him, okay? All right, let's look at another verse. It's in Joel 2, 28 and 29. Joel is a fairly short book, but once again, he's hearing from the Lord, and it's kind of a continual narrative. And it says, then, after doing all those things, we're going to talk about all those things in a second, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, right? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. There it is again, capital S. Even on servants, men and women alike. No one's exempt. The slave or the free, the man or the woman, the young or old, no one is exempt. He wants to pour out his spirit on each and every one of us. That's his promise. That's his plan. Do you want that today? I hope the answer is yes. We're going to talk more about it and give you an opportunity to receive this today. But man, I'm excited. This is good news. And we're seeing it. These are the last days. We're living in them. And the clock is winding down. I know you hear preacher after preacher say that. But I'm telling you, I feel it. I believe it. I know it. And if we're doing what he wants us to do, we're going to be ready when he comes. Okay? All right. Now, remember, I said, in the first part of that verse, it says, then after doing all those things, we're going to talk about that. So if you look at the verses preceding this, you see that the people were called to repentance, and that led to restoration, and then it led to this part, receiving the Holy Spirit that was promised. Isn't that awesome? I hope that excites you today. So repentance led to restoration, and that restoration led to the receiving of the promise of God. All right. Now, we have another commandment from Jesus himself, and we're going to start off in Acts 1, verses 4 through 5. It says, once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them. This is a command. He didn't request. He commanded. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. What was that gift, Chris? The Holy Spirit, right? As I've told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? I'm reminded that that John said, hey, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's going to be someone coming that's going to baptize you with fire. Okay? Like, this is cool. Another thing I want to call out is Luke, the guy, Luke, wrote the book or the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. So I recommend reading those two together sometime if you haven't. Read the Gospel of Luke, and then right when it tapers off, you're going to go right into Acts. It's going to be a flowing narrative. I think it's really cool, so I encourage you to try that. Let's go to Luke 24 and verse 49. It says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, what? Just as my Father promised, okay? Father's promised this. We're being reminded of this. And Jesus, a minute ago, says, as I told you before, here it is. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Isn't that good? Stay here. He's going to come, and then he's going to fill you, and you're going to have power from heaven. Let's look at Acts 1:8, last verse on this. He says again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this reminds me, we talked about it last week, Great Commission, Matthew 28. All right, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them about me, telling them about all my ways, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And don't worry, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And that's Chris's paraphrase. But isn't that cool? He's with us. How is he with us? Holy Spirit. Okay? So here it is. We have our instructions. We are to what? Wait. Now, you may be thinking, oh, Chris, there you go again with this waiting business. We talked about it in our last series. We've been talking about it. We're talking about it again. Being still and waiting on the Lord. It has to be a key or something, right? Well, actually, that was the first one in hearing God's voice. Quiet yourself. Still yourself. Wait on the Lord, okay? Then we got to look at Jesus. And you may be tempted to think, Chris, the God of all eternity, transcendent of all time, surely he could move faster, right? We don't have to wait. Like, what is this waiting business? But once again, I'm reminded that the best things do take some time. Right? We're so busy and we're rushing everywhere. So honestly, to me, whether we like it or not, waiting is good. It allows us the breather we need so we can actually focus on what Jesus is saying. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you kind of start to tune them out by whatever you're doing or whatever your mind is drawn to, and then all of a sudden they kind of like, get your attention. Hey, eyes on me. Like, focus, pay attention, right? I imagine we do that to Jesus often as well. Like, we want to do his will. We want to listen to him. We don't like waiting very much. We want it right now, like microwave society, you know, all that stuff. And Jesus says, hey, over here, eyes on me, right? So he wants to be with us, but he wants all of our attention. And the good news that I can tell you today is when we actually do wait on him, isn't it cool how whoosh, all of a sudden, his presence and his power and his love and his comfort is right there in the room with you every single time. Y'all get in the chat in here with me. Y'all tell me about a time that it didn't happen, because I'm going to bet that it's not filled up with any chat. And then y'all tell me about all the times that it did happen. You waited on the Lord and he showed up. Will y'all tell us about those times? Because that's good, right? That's encouraging. That builds our faith, okay? Tell us about that. So then I'm led to, well, if it's a promise, like, there has to be a fulfillment of that promise, right? And that is indeed true. It's found in Acts chapter 2. We can rest assured that God does what he says. He fulfills his promise. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. On the day of Pentecost. Now, small note here on Pentecost. This was 50 days after Jesus was ascended into heaven. So it was on Passover, Jesus goes to heaven, and they wait 50 days. So if you've been waiting for some time, you're in good company. Wait a little bit longer. God's never too slow. He's never, missing the mark or missing the appointment. He always is there right on time. So on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Think we should do that more often? I think so. And suddenly, Pastor Glenn's favorite word, suddenly, I love it. There was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. That reminds me of the cave in Elijah. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. We're going to talk about that next sermon, so don't miss this. But Acts 2, 1 through 4, all right? We're talking about the tongues of fire next sermon. But it settled on each one of them. And now get this. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. But what did it say? Everyone present. What did Joel say? The young, the old, the man, the woman, the slave, the free. Everybody gets filled. You get a car and you get a car and you get a car, right? Same idea. Everyone gets the promise. They were all there, they were all ready to go, and he answered, he did what he says. We can take him at his word. 50 days later, they waited, but he answered his promise. Isn't that cool? Now, this right here is kind of Paul gives us a little bit more insight into what actually happened. Now, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. But Paul unpacks it a little bit more, and this is where we get the title of our sermon today, Sealed. So we've begun our study in the book of Ephesians. Those studies take place on Mondays at 7, online only, and we finished up Galatians, which was so good. Now we're jumping into the book of Ephesians. And just this Monday, we rebroadcasted Wednesday, but we studied this portion of Scripture, and it's so powerful. It's one of my favorite verses. I know I say that all the time, but it really is. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And I'm going to read these in the Passion Translation. And it says, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the Anointed One and bring great praise and glory to God. What's it all for? To praise and glorify His name. And because of Him, when you who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. You believed in Him. Now, we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? Stamped with a seal. And listen to this. This is one of my favorite parts. He is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride. So we got our rings on. The man wears his ring. He gives his wife an engagement ring. Okay? Keep that picture. And it's the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope. Okay? The He there is Holy Spirit. Promise of a future inheritance which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. It's all to glorify Him. But He gave us this engagement ring, and He says, I love you this much. Isn't that cool? Now, I have to ask you, did you know that we, His church, are His bride? Now, I know this makes all the guys uncomfortable, and it's okay, because as you get close to Him, that part doesn't matter a whole lot. All that you know is that you just want to be with Him forever, close, right? And I can't think of a boy, because, you know, remember, he sees us, and we're supposed to have that childlike faith. I cannot think of a boy that doesn't want to be with his daddy all the time. All the time. Doesn't matter what we're doing, but I want to be with Dad. I want to be like Dad, right? Okay. Times 1,000. I want to be with Jesus. I don't care what I'm called. I don't care what I'm doing. I just want to be with Him. Okay? Are you with me on that today? A little easier for the ladies because they're like, oh, hey, bride, yeah, all right, you know. But the guys, yeah, it's a little bit more awkward. I get it, okay? All right, so were we sealed with things? When He says we're sealed, we're given this promise, this inheritance, this picture of what's to come with that engagement ring. No, we were sealed with Him. He Himself seals us. So in the sealing, here's some things that we gain. We're going to unpack these here as we're wrapping things up. In the sealing, we gain security, authenticity, ownership, and authority. Security, authenticity, ownership, and authority. We're no longer orphans. In John 14, verses 18 through 19, in the Passion, it says, I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world, and they will see me no longer, but you will see me, because I will live again, and you will come alive too. We who were once were dead in our transgressions and our sin come to new life in Jesus Christ. He doesn't inhabit the dead. He's not the God of the dead. Paul reminds us that when the patriarchs prayed to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it was a living name. Like, you're the God of them, not you were the God of them, or those guys that are dead, they served you, I guess I'll serve you too. No, He's the God of the living. And we are now alive in Christ. And we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we have a part of the Trinity in us, equipping us and empowering us. And He says, I'm going to go away. And it's almost like, you know, when Daddy gets up and he's got his coffee ready and he goes out the door, he's going to work. He's going to prepare a place for us. And the moment he walks out the door, You see him walk back in, but he looks a little bit different. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit. Whose spirit did you think that he was? Jesus's. So he looks like Jesus. And we're like, oh, hey, I thought you just left. You're back? Cool. He's not going to leave you as orphans. He's not going to leave you as alone. He goes to the Father to intercede for us, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us. Isn't that awesome? So he said, I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world. They, the world, will see me no longer. But you will see me, because I will live again, and you will come alive too. So I've got this one for security. Because we are something he cares about, we have his protection. We have his promise. We have that comfort. Remember, one of the names of Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Not a blanket, okay? The Comforter. He comforts us. All right? Another point here is that authenticity. He sealed us with himself so we could trust the source. Like, he didn't seal us with something that could lie, something that could be fallible. He never lies. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't mess anything up. So he says, I'm going to seal you by the best thing I could seal you with, myself. And I always keep my promises. We got a promise of the Holy Spirit. He answered the promise of the Holy Spirit. Hundreds of years were in between those two things, those two events, and he did what he said, okay? We have authenticity. When we are stamped with his seal of approval, we got him. He's covering us. He says, this is the real deal. You're the real deal. I'm going to make you the real deal, okay? Then, thing comes in mind is greater things. Greater things. Where do you get that, Chris? Well, let's look at John 14, verses 12 through 14 in the Passion. Jesus says, I'm going to tell you a timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same miracles that I do. What? Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I'm going to do it for you. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that give you hope? I'm reminded of a story about a young man who goes to the bank. And he's there, and he walks up to the bank teller, and he says, I'm here to make a withdrawal. And she says, okay, whose account? My dad's. And he slides over the piece of paper, and he's got his dad's signature. Maybe he's got, like in the old days, those signet rings. He's got, here's the ring. Here's the seal. Here's the name. Now remember, we're marked with his name. And he cares about the integrity of his name. You can go back to the portions in Ezekiel and Joel and the prophetic things that he said before we got to the event of the promise. But we get to go to that bank. And every time we go to the Father, in accordance with Jesus' will, we are saying, I'm here to make a withdrawal. And Jesus looks at the Father and he nods to him. We're in alignment. We're in agreement. Isn't that cool? So we have his promise that we're going to do greater things. And all we have to do is ask for him in his name. It aligns with his will. It aligns with the plan. Remember, Jesus says, I'm only going to do what I see my Father doing. I'm only going to say what I hear my Father saying, right? He's seen it. He's experienced it. And that's what he wants us to walk in. So the Holy Spirit is going to make us aware of what's being said, what we can see, what's being done, you know, all that. The Holy Spirit is there to make sure we're in alignment with the will. I hope that clears it up for you today, but I just thought that was good. And then, okay, so we have the two other words, ownership. Like an engagement ring, we see that this is but a down payment of good things to come. So when a man is ready to marry a woman, he gives that engagement ring. He gives that dowry. He gives that promise of saying, I'm going to take care of her. She's safe. She's protected. And this is kind of an archaic viewpoint, but she became the man's property. She became part of what he owned. And once again, I say that's archaic. I don't want us to think about it too much in that sense, but he's supposed to protect her, just like he would protect everything else that belongs to him. So kind of grab it from that perspective. But we are Christ's now, and we've been freed from sin, but we're slaves to him. We serve him. We are his, like, people. We are his property, however you want to look at it. But we are his, and we serve his good purpose, okay? Next one, authority. As I mentioned in our story above, we move in His authority and power in the way that we share His story and good news with those that are around us. We find what was lost. If He said that it's like a man who loses a sheep and he leaves the 99 to go find the one, well, there's a lot of us. Surely we can help. Surely we can tell the story. Surely we can be Jesus in those situations, showing His love, showing His compassion on each and every one we come into contact with, right? All right, so what was that again last time? In the sealing of the Holy Spirit, we gain security, authenticity, ownership, and authority, all right? We are His. We will do greater things. Excuse me, we're not orphans anymore. So in closing, I thought of this phrase, signed, sealed, and delivered. Have you ever heard this phrase before? Usually when I've heard it, it's to close a business deal or it's one of those cheesy mattress commercials, you know who you are. But you're meant to get assurance that everything is taken care of. Like, we got this. You don't have to do anything. Just say yes. We got you. But oh, how often human promises fall short. We don't always see or plan for the obstacles that will come against us, do we? Like in building projects, the men that built their houses on sand or rocks, like you can't foretell. We didn't know that the wind and the waves and the floods and all those things would come, even though Jesus told us they would. We still think, oh, it's not going to happen to me, and we miss it. But this is not the case with the promise from Christ. Jesus did everything, and now we have His Spirit living inside of us. No longer do we have to follow the empty promises of anyone saying, signed, sealed, delivered, and they lie, right? So I'm reminded of one more story, and this is our closing, but they said when they entered Jesus' tomb, they saw His burial clothes there, and they were folded up. And as I've kind of studied that a little bit, Jesus was a carpenter. Many of us know that. And as a carpenter in those days would finish their work, their signed, sealed, delivered statement was, hey, I stand by my work, this is my mark, or whatever, was that sealing. And often they'd take, whether it's the apron they were working with, or the napkin, or whatever you would call it, words, where they would wipe the sweat from their brow, and they'd place it on there, was their way of saying, hey, this was the work of my hands, and I stand by it. The work of Jesus' hands was to do the will of the Father, and He died so that we could be made right with Him again. We can come back into relationship, come back into that unity with Him. So Jesus' signed, sealed, delivered is a promise that we can stand on because He's the only one that's kept His promise. He said we'd get the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send a comforter. He left, and He sent the comforter. Okay? Two for two, and just the two examples I gave. There's plenty more that we can go through, but we don't have time. But Jesus' promises we can always rest in. So I ask you today, are you ready to accept and receive His promises? In John 3:16, it said, God so loved the world, He gave. He gave us Jesus. And Jesus made a way. He's the way, the truth, the life. No one comes back to the Father except through Him. We have to have unity. We have to be joined to Him. Are you ready to accept that free gift today? I want to pray with you. If you're hearing this for the first time and you're ready to receive the gift, it's super easy. Just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Come fill me. Be the Lord of my life. Take control of everything and help me to walk in alignment with Your will. Forgive me for my sins. Make me clean. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit each and every day. And I thank You. I praise You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we are so excited that you have joined a family. Family of God. You're going to spend eternity in heaven with the One who made you and who has longed for you to be with Him all the time. You're going to have eternity with Him. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over what you just did today. If you'd be so willing to send us your information, You should see a link on our website for a connection card. We'd love to get you a free gift. We'd love to pray with you and hear your story. If you need a Bible, let us know. But tell us how we can bless you and how we can walk these next steps out with you. If you're here and you love Jesus, you know Jesus, but you want more of this Holy Spirit, let's pray today. Lord Jesus, I need more of your Holy Spirit. I need more of your power to do what you've called me to do. Would you fill me again, fresh and new, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, receive the Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name. He's going to fill you with more, and he's going to call you to more. Just say yes. Take the first step. Now, as I mentioned, next week, we're talking about power. Just like all buildings and houses that we build need power, so does the body of Christ. We need power to do what he's called us to do. So what has the Spirit, Holy Spirit, given us to do the work of God? We're going to find that out next time. So join us next Sunday online or in person at 10:30, and we're going to talk about the power of God, the power from the Holy Spirit. All right, we'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.